Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Hello, Galway! We've managed to get most of them in from the bar. Are Galway going to win? Just to read you this one text, which might, you know, explain how the rest of the country is thinking about this. John, who says he's from Leitrim but living in Galway, says, I'd say folk from Galway are thinking, why does it have to be Waterford? We'd actually be happy to see them with Liam. And Waterford folk are thinking, woohoo, thank God it's Galway, we're going to stuff them. Right, just to let everybody in the room know that we are giving away a pair of tickets to the All-Ireland Hurling Final, courtesy of our friends at Borgosh Energy. We've been giving away great prizes all week, but this one, this is the best prize that we've had. It is tickets to the Borgosh Energy GAA Legends Tour with Ollie Canning on Saturday the 2nd of September, overnight hotel accommodation in Dublin, and you'll get to join us for an exclusive match preview in the Players' Lounge on the day. Most importantly, though, two stand tickets for the All-Ireland Final. We've got to give them away in about 15, 20 minutes' time. Now, Finnerty, Farrell and Cunningham are all in the audience and they're still mic'd up, so feel free to heckle anything that the lads are saying or to interrupt if they go wrong. But Tommy Ken, Doughty and Ollie are back with us. And as ever, if anybody wants to text in, just get us on 53106. Doughty, who's going to win?
I think Galway will win. I think their time is ready. I didn't think they would win 2012. I didn't think they'd win 2015. I've questioned before Galway over the last number of years, and I feel with justification at times, because to me, going back to years and looking at Galway, and they're a county I have huge affinity for. I have many, many good friends in the Maori area. I've met them in Father Tom Burke's in Boston a long time, so I have a long history with Galway and great friends. But I've had very strong opinions on Galway hurling over the years, going back to 1981. And I have a personal belief that on many occasions that Galway have lost All-Irelands, I felt afterwards looking at it that the real forensic looking into why Galway lost didn't really take place on a grand scale. I felt on many occasions it was, there was always a reason or someone's fault or whatever. And I'll just give you one brief example that's always stuck in my mind for a game.
Before you do, it started so well, he said Galway were going to win, but now he's going to dump on the whole county.
I'll get to why now I think they're ready, to be honest. Like, just an example, in the 81 All-Ireland final, it was, I suppose, what happened, but what happened afterwards for me gave me an indication, was Galway had led 13 points to 1-4 at halftime, playing a really good brand of hurling. Blitzing Offaly, a far better side. In the second half, Galway scored 2 points. One was a brilliant Noel Lane score, hopped the ball off the ground, and the second one was a free. So he had gone from a dominant position to losing an All-Ireland final that conceivably should never have been lost. And I felt afterwards that the argument was too easy, as to there was a ball thrown into the net by Johnny Flaherty. So you bring the argument on over the years. And I felt there were times that Galway felt they should have won All-Ireland finals. I think better teams win All-Ireland finals. Galway would have argued we lost games that we should have won. There's lots of teams can argue that. Why do I think it's different with this particular Galway team? At the start of the year, I thought the capability was there. It had got to the stage during the year that coming up to the tip game, they bring the best out of one another. You expected a classic and we weren't disappointed. I have never been as confident of a Galway team going to the well and staying there. And winning. Now, okay, it was a point, but I was never as sure about Galway as I was that day. And the beauty of this game is, it was easy to analyse Tip and Kilkenny in many respects over the years, the same players, the same systems, the whole thing. This is a beautiful game to analyse because there is a different type of play going to take place. So it's really enjoyable to look at it from that perspective. And the morning after Waterford won, Cyril Farrell was interviewed on radio and he was asked, what do Galway do to counteract Waterford? And he said, what Galway need to do is forget about Waterford totally and concentrate on what they're doing. And I listened to you that morning and I thought you were making an error. And I thought to myself, he's wrong in what he's saying here. You must look at Waterford and you must look at the way they play. And the longer it's gone in, I thought to myself, no, you don't. Waterford are in an All-Ireland final. They haven't threatened to win one, to be fair, the last few years. They're in one. You've been in two of them. You know, you've been closer to the Holy Grail than. And I've come around to thinking that what Galway, I figure they've done is, they've looked at Waterford, they've given them the due respect that they deserve, but they haven't overanalyzed it. And I think he's coached them into on the day, we're good enough. Everything you do in training, everything you've brought into this game, it's better than what they'll bring, no matter what they bring. The concentration level is on us. I think this Galway team are 70 minutes away from stepping into being a great side. There'll be a crunch time in the game. It may come with 10, 12, 14 minutes to go, where men need to stand up, where there's a question mark going to come, and Waterford may go a point or two ahead. For the first time in a number of years, I believe there's more than enough men to stand up and do it, and on that basis, I do believe Galway will win it.
Still though, Johnny Flaherty threw the ball into the net, right?
In 81, for us, the turning point was the goal that was disallowed from John Connolly on Damien Martin. Damien knocked the ball out, John tipped into the net. Frank Murphy, for whatever reason, disallowed the goal. That would have given us a breather. But Offaly were a good, Offaly were a very good side in them years and were since. And I've always felt that Offaly never got the recognition that they deserved. Very small hurling area. That time about six clubs, and they were challenging the might of Kilkenny and Leinster. And that time, you must remember that time, if you were beaten, you were knocked out. You know what I mean? There was no second door. So like, they did very well to be with six, I'd say about six clubs, I'd say, at that stage, you know. And it's sad at the moment to see them kind of gone off the radar. Now, they'll have to start again at the very bottom and work hard and keep at it. But like, that time they were challenging everyone, and on a day they were good enough to beat anyone on a given day.
For sure. Ken, what's the fear in Waterford about this Galway team? Like, what is the kind of concern, or is there actually, you know, there's a bit of confidence because that team is backbone by a bunch of players who have underage success as well?
Yeah, I don't think there's much fear, to be honest with you. No, there's not. There's not. Galway are a good team and they respect them. And Galway is a 12, 13 lads over 6 foot. They're big, strong lads and they're physical, they're fit. A lot of them will win their own ball, which is something we didn't always have to come up against in the last couple of years, you know. But I don't think there's a massive fear. As I said early on, there's no real baggage with Galway. We've never lost to Galway in the championship. I think we bet Galway 10 times. Some of them lads bet Galway in the minor All-Ireland or under 21 All-Ireland, so we've a great record against Galway. It's gone very quiet here now.
Yeah.
But I think Cyril was right. If I was from Galway, I worry about myself and not overanalyze things. I think Waterford probably thought too much going into the Cork game on the 18th of June, and we saw the performance that we kind of gave. But look, the way Waterford set up, they're hard to break down. I think over the last four games, they've gradually got better and better, and they're going up. The graph has gone up for them over the summer. I think that's the best they're playing in that system for the last three, 4 years, and we're getting scores, you know.
Yeah, so just a quick recap of that whole system debate. The first game against Cork in the Munster Championship, they were really flat, but it seemed like they went fairly orthodox that day. And then they decided, actually, you know what, that didn't work for us. And slowly, over the next couple of games, they found the system. They've gone back to a version of the original system, but have freed up the midfielders to add numbers with their pace to the attack. And it seems like the big hurling brain is finally on show and it's starting to work.
Yeah, they probably probably listened to too much stuff on the outside. And we were probably hoping to expand our way of playing even before that game, saying, are we too defensive? And they could have probably listened to that. And they played Austin in no defined role. They shifted lads back out the pitch instead of playing a proper sweeper as such, and backfired against Cork. But since that, they got everything right, in all fairness. They got a nice draw against Offaly, in all fairness. They get them back on track and got a heap of scores that day. The next day was a huge game for them against Kilkenny. Kilkenny are not the Kilkenny team of old, right? Nowhere near the lads' team. But historically, it's been unbelievably hard for us to beat them. And the lift they got from that was huge, and they drove on from that again. They were better than Wexford, but gradually they're getting better and better and playing this way. And they're not wasting the ball with the spare man. They're popping the pass the whole time. And their midfielders are playing very well and pushing forward. I never had a problem with one sweeper once you're leaving at least four to five lads up in the forward line. Five, I think you should have at all times. You're giving yourself chances of getting high scores then. And our average score since the first Cork game is 20-something points per game. And that'll give you a chance of winning any game. I think we got 11 goals as well.
Yeah.
I don't think Galway scored since the first game a goal against Dublin either. So I think it's all looking great for us.
Tommy, what do you think is going to happen? And just to go back to that whole point about Waterford going back to what they as a group believed was the right thing to do, it took courage because they were getting a lot of shit from outside the camp. Yeah, it did. I suppose the one thing that helped them was probably the fact that that day against Cork in June, they actually didn't play with a sweeper. Now, they didn't go at 15 on 15 either. I think they kind of basically played with three out midfield. And so it was probably just a worse version of what they were doing, I felt. They were neither coming or going. You either have to nail your colours to the mast or not. And I just felt they probably came somewhere in between. So either go all out sweeper or go, you know, back to traditional type 15 on 15. But basically, I think if Waterford are to win, I was listening to a guy there during the week, if Waterford are to win on Sunday, when Galway beat us in the 2012 final, we were, you talk about tactics now, and Pete was probably the same playing half back. We just got the ball and hit it. And it was up to the forward to win it. We had our job done. So really, it was kind of easy nearly, much easier than any of playing the half back line. So nowadays, they have to pick out guys left, right, and centre. But going back to that 2012 final, when we drove the ball in, as and usually was into the full forward, and we didn't even spread it at the corners, we were really old school. But the Galway guys had copped onto us, and they knew what we were doing. If Colin Finlay went up for the ball, he was just kind of shielded, like you would do nowadays with the sweeper, let the ball through. So we weren't able to win primary possession in that 2012 final.
This is the Leinster final.
The Leinster final, when Galway, the best be 10 or 12 points. But on Sunday,
what happened in the All-Ireland final that year? Does anybody remember?
Yeah. There's something interesting in that as well. We'll go back to that in a second. But I think if Waterford are to win on Sunday, Galway are the best guys in my last few years in playing for Kilkenny. They were the best. They were probably the best guys I actually came across during my career as an opposition wise in the air. They were brilliant. I was coming across Johnny Glynn, Cyril Donlan that time. Instead of standing underneath, they'd run, jump, catch the ball in the air. So suddenly you couldn't stand down here and do a few tricks.
Pull the helmet.
You had to try and catch him, Ger. Oh, no, yeah. But the boys were brilliant at it, you know, and it was hard to handle. So I think this Galway team still forward line, like Conor Cooney, Joe Canning, Joseph Cooney, these boys are brilliant in the air. So I think, and most of it I think will be coming in long. In the Wexford match, in the Leinster final, Galway, the reason they were so dominant against the sweeper, Conor Cooney in the corner, he was a good bit over his man, and he was catching everything. Yeah. Scored, 1-6 or 6 points on the day. So I think if Waterford are to win and have any chance, they will have to do something like Galway did to us that day and not let Galway win the aerial battles, because they've been ruling the skies all summer. Like it was often said about Kilkenny Tipperary, but Galway are probably the number one guys this year for catching balls.
Do they make any plans for the fact that they're coming up against the best exponents of the sweeper system, or do you just ignore it and try and do your own thing? How much game planning do you have to do in a situation like this, Ollie?
Well, I believe you have to analyse the opposition to a degree. You can't let it consume you in training, because you have enough of stuff yourself to, you have your own processes, your own tactics to deal with. There may be some man marking going on. You have to be conscious of who you're going to be on. Are you picking up some player for the day or whatever? But I think an advantage Galway have this year is that they've come up against a sweeper all through Leinster, and I felt that they handled that pretty well. I know people are saying that, and Ken is correct, we scored 2 goals against Dublin and we haven't scored a goal since. Waterford were probably a team that were not known for scoring goals and have scored 11, I think, in the 4 games. So that is probably a slight concern for Galway. But I think if we can put enough points on the board, we can still win this game. Based on Galway coming up against Dublin, Offaly with 2 sweepers, and Wexford with an out-and-out sweeper as well. And Wexford were okay playing the sweeper system as well. Yeah. Galway, I felt, dealt with the situation on the day. They have got half-backs and they got midfielders. They can take scores from distance. And that may be the way the game starts. But as I think with Cyril said it earlier on, you never know. A Galway team that hasn't scored goals, and we've seen this many times in the past, a team that maybe had a drought of goals can pop up and score 2 or 3 goals the next game. And that's sometimes the way it goes.
Anthony, you've obviously prepared a team for All-Ireland finals and had the experience of the replay situation as well, so you know exactly what the game planning is like. How difficult is it not to get into your head what the opposition is doing? How do you make sure that you do enough but not too much of that, this is what they're going to do and we have to counteract it?
Well, it's a balance, really. I mean, as Ali said there, you do have to analyse the opposition and where they're winning and what happened the last day and what they've been doing throughout the year. But it doesn't have to consume you, but maybe 70-30% if you wanted to break down, you know, you'd always be going through what you're strongest with and trying to win that way. But what Ali said there, like Galway on Sunday will have to use the ball properly and can't panic. And if it's a close match with 15 minutes to go, they just can't balloon balls up, because Tobourka and Fives and the half-back line will, as they did against Cork, they'll just mop up there. And they'll, a big plus for Galway this year is Joe's Canning is playing deeper coming out as an option. That's a new option that's there. He's very, very good at hitting the killer pass inside and has done that throughout the year, as has David Bourke. A good few have been critical of David's performance, but for me, he's coming very deep, set up a good few scores the last day because he's coming towards the half-back line to take the out ball from the backs, and they're very clever players, really. So the options of beating the sweeper are, you know, there's a number of different ways, but coming deep from our half-hour line and then popping the ball in over the defensive setup. So you practice that, you go through where Waterford, for example, win puck outs and how to win puck outs.
Yeah.
And they'll go short and quite a lot. I think their goalie is very good and very, very accurate. He's probably second to Nash in picking out players through O'Keefe. He's really, really solid on that.
Yeah.
Brick Walsh is a huge winner for a long puck out for him, and how Galway are going to deal with Brick Walsh is something that they'll have gone through. I'd expect Pádraig Mannion, who's having a tremendous year, to pick him up. If they play Brick in the half line, you know, Waterford might throw a spanner in the works and maybe start him inside for a few minutes. But in the main, I think he'll be.
And if he does that, do you put Mannion on him anyway?
I would say Mannion would follow him because Pádraig has played cornerback. He's an option of playing, you know, and that's a huge plus for Galway that Pádraig's able to play in the half back line.
Yeah.
Any place in the half back line, back into the full back line. So. Yeah, Galway are going to have patience and be smart with it.
And who calls the game plan on the field? Like how much freedom do the players have to go, okay, this is what Waterford are doing here, and we know that we have the ability for Joe to come deep or whoever to come deep?
I mean, to be certain amount of freedom given most certainly. And if you look at the panellists there tonight, you take Ollie there when he was live playing cornerback, he's probably the best cornerback that Galway had at reading the game ever. Like he had... You know, he could come some days, he would come out 30, 40 yards and he'd be picking up balls. And, you know, that would, you know, he just read the game when it was live. Same with Tommy there. He was exceptional. If you go back and look at all the videos that he played in, exceptional at reading the game. And it's sometimes very hard to coach that. Kane would be the same at centre back there. Like that's a natural thing. And they're able to see who's winning the ball on the far side, where's it dropping. Tommy would, a huge amount of times, would finish up in front of the square, in front of JJ there, picking up balls. Other days, it might be 30 yards further out. So, you know, players, you know, the top defenders are reading it. As I used to say to them, read the game live when it does happen, because something will change again there on Sunday. That might be a bit different from before, and they're going to have to react to that. And I think that's where Galway's experience of 15 is going to really, really stand to them.
One thing that struck me, there's been a few kind of red cards or potential red card decisions in matches for not very serious stuff over, like it hasn't really been a dirty championship, but there's been loads of red cards. You kind of hope that nothing like that fecks up this game. That actually, if somebody pulls the helmet off, there's a bit of a, I didn't see it and away we go. Like, to a certain degree. Like yeah,
a lot of the team with the helmets tends not to get picked up until kind of afterwards. So it's not going to matter. If something is picked up, they can discuss it all they like when the game is over.
Yeah.
You know,
first round of the league, thanks very much.
Either way, but like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a really difficult one because, I mean, Waterford couldn't countenance going into this game without Austin Gleeson, to be fair about it. And there's been a lot of talk about it. I think the referee was hung out to dry, to be honest, which I really thought he was hung out to dry. He was forced into making a call. Now, to say that you saw that happening during the course of the game and you felt it didn't warrant anything, I told the player to put it back on. I can't believe for a minute he saw what he saw and deemed it was unnecessary to take any further action. Because when you look at it afterwards, it was blatant, right? And what the guy needs to understand, he's a supreme talent and a brilliant, brilliant hurler. You must keep your cool. You must keep your cool during the course of the game. And the levels and the stakes and the game of inches that it is nowadays, you cannot risk And it's a rule that's been brought in a few years ago, and there's a protection issue there, and I don't have an issue with it. But for Tadhg Na Boracha to miss out on a semi-final, and you look then at what subsequently happened, you know, I feel sorry for young Gleeson in the middle of the field. He had no hope going for his appeal once Austin had got away with his misdemeanour. So,
but Ger, there's a big difference with this referee. But no Mel from college matches. The last few All-Ireland finals, the boys refereeing and their good refs are inclined to make up their own rules. They weren't really following the rule book, if you know what I mean.
They let it go.
On Sunday, and it looks and it's a great game. I can tell you, Fergal on Sunday, knowing him, he'll go by the rule book. And a lot of lads, both Micheál Donoghue and Derek McGrath will know that. They'll be warning their players, hey lads, you touch the lad's helmet on Sunday, it's a red, with your hand, it's a red card. You pull a flick with the hurl, hit a fella, it's a red. He will referee by the rule book, if you know what I mean. He'll be stricter than the last few referees at Athletics Flow. He's a different referee to the Brian Gavin, shall we say, in this world. That's the way he is. Like, and it'll be a difference to the players because he'll do it on the snap at the moment and you're gone.
As a neutral, that would be the concern that an amazing classic game could be denied us because something silly.
Well, if he's having a bad game, sure you can do like Tommy, split him open.
In all fairness, you'd be hoping that the game is not decided by a refereeing decision again. And look, I'll be honest, that helmet rule, and there's so much talk going on about over the last few weeks, that it kind of dominated talk for 2 or 3 weeks, and it has to be looked at properly because the rule was brought in for lads squaring up to one another and the helmet being pulled off in a vicious manner.
Yeah.
To miss an Ireland final for absolute nonsense, I find that nonsense, to miss an Ireland final for that. There's nothing in that what Adrian Toohey or Austin Gleeson done, and it has to be looked at properly. Like, it's a contact sport, but helmets involved. It's different if you square up and you pull the helmet. That's what it was brought in for, because it's dangerous.
But there should be degrees. Like, we're intelligent enough to work out there's a scale of stuff here. That's at the bad scale, and that's at the yellow card scale. There's a scale in fouls,
right, for different fouls in a game. There have to be a scale in that as well, I think.
Yeah.
Look, on Conor Gleeson.
What are you laughing at?
That's just the way he brought up about Adrian Toohey. Like, how did you bring that up again, you know? What I'm thinking about is that will have to be reviewed after decision on Austin. That is dead in the water. They have to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
Now, I think we're all here. I think we should look forward to the match.
Yeah.
I think Austin Gleeson had a tough week there. He's a young guy. He has a lot to learn. I think we were all in that same boat. We were all 20, 21, 22. You learn as you go along. And he
was 28, 29.
He will learn. Some has never learned. But you know, that happened, and I think Austin probably, you know, he regretted it. The rule will get looked at for sure. But okay. I think, in general, I think even from Galway people's point of view, we're happy to see the best team that Waterford can put out against us, and if we're good enough, we'll beat them on the day.
Right. I have one more 30-second quick break to take. We're going to get the lads' predictions. I have a feeling Ollie Canning's going to predict a Galway win. Spoiler alert. We are live here with Borgosh Energy, proud sponsor of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. You can follow all the action this weekend using the hashtag Hurling to the Core. Stay in your seats, though, because after this 30-second break, somebody's going to win a pair of tickets to the All-Ireland final.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Hello, Galway! We've got one very, very important last part of this to do, and that's to get the lads' predictions. But before we do that, we actually are going to have the draw to send somebody to the All-Ireland Hurling Final, courtesy of Borgosh Energy. Cyril Farrell is our lovely assistant for the night. He's doing great, isn't he? Let's get tense. That's the bit where the music kicks in. Hooray! Okay, so all you have to do is pick out the winning ticket. It's very complicated. What number have we got?
It's an orange ticket. Numbers 381 to 385.
Everybody had orange tickets, that was why there was a cheer.
Who have we got?
Hey, we've got a winner in the crowd.
Good man. What's your name and where do you come from?
David Broderick from Mary Or More.
Now, the answer to the next question is no. Do you have tickets to the final?
No.
Hey! Making people happy. You get to spend Saturday morning with Ollie Canning on the Borgosh Energy Legends Tour as well. Have you thought about what you're going to say, Ollie?
You've got to speak for an hour and a half. It's like uninterrupted. You know this, right? They preach on all this.
Just show them the dressing room, is where I talked out, the warm-up room. Show them where Tommy collected all his cups. Show the pitch, and that's what it is.
Right, Tommy, tell us briefly how, if you're Waterford, you think you can beat this Galway team. What are you doing in this week in training, and what are the messages that Derek McGrath's giving them that give them confidence?
Well, the first thing I'd be saying to him is not to be reading the papers, because papers are a nightmare. Like, you've lads like us talking in them there, telling old stories and that. But honestly, you don't want to be reading that, because if they're saying good stuff about you, it's kind of making you a bit soft. If they're saying kind of negative stuff about you, you're going in with doubts into the final. Like, you want to be going into that final, I'm going to beat me, man, and there's nothing that's going to happen. You don't need anyone telling you that and other different. So the first thing I'd be, if I was Derek McGrath, don't look at your Twitter, your Facebook, your Irish, you know, I need the papers. Come in training, train hard for the 45 minutes or 50 minutes, go home. Anyone wants to talk to you about hurling, give him a little nod telling me you have to go to the shop, or you have to go on a business phone call or something like that. Honestly. And then you prepare like that for the match. Out into the match then, just don't even think about the whistle, just go for it.
Tommy never thought about the whistle.
No. Honestly, that's what finals are hard to be won. They'll be gone within a second. If you start thinking at all, it'll be gone, and you'll be saying, where did that day go? And I did nothing, like, you know. Towards, you need to tear into it from the first 30 seconds, and then you'll sleep. You know, whether you win or lose, I've lost a lot of matches as well, like with club and count, you know. And if you give it everything, at least you can go to bed that night saying, listen, I give it everything. And whether you're disappointed, you'll get over that. But there's nothing as bad as getting into that bed that night saying, if only I had to win for that ball and blocked your man, we could be All-Ireland champions, or we could be champions. We could have won that match. So to the Waterford lads, I'd be saying to them, get out and just get stuck in.
So you just think they're good enough to win, like they are at this stage. It's not as one-sided a game as the bookmakers have it, for example.
No, like I would have Galway as favourites, the slight favourites. But like Waterford, you don't get to finals with being a bad team. And, you know, the whole, whether you believe in one system or the other system, like Mick McCarthy was on your show, or I think he was talking to Nathan or someone a few weeks ago, Ger, and he asked him about systems. And I think he's in the Premier League and the Championship for the last 20, 25 years. And he said he had mostly the same system for the full 25 years. And how well it went or how poorly it went, depending on his players.
Yeah.
So no matter what system Derek McGrath goes out, he has brilliant players. They've won colleges with Derek McGrath. I think it was the De La Salle College. They won minors, they won under 21s. Like, these are brilliant players. You have Austin Gleeson out of the game, like Joe, for 40 minutes. Next minute turns it on, game over. When you have special players like that, you can do anything. And they have Jamie Barnes, and Shane Bennett is a brilliant player too. Doesn't do much during the game because of, you know, he's up against two or three guys. But if you go look, he either scores a goal or sets up a goal, which is vital to a team playing that type of game. So when you have players like that and Morris coming on, you always have a chance. So I give him a great chance, but I do think Galway will win.
Okay, so we're in the lines then. We've got a bit of consensus that Galway are going to win. If you were thinking from a Galway perspective about what the strengths of this Waterford team, and not that we've been labouring the point from a Galway perspective, but like, what are they concerned about? What are the things that Galway have to be aware of from the Waterford perspective that you think, shit, this could actually...
I think Tadhg De Bórca will go back as sweeper. He's very, very good at that. If there's loose ball, I think, hit into the forwards, Tadhg will mop that up all day. And the Galway forwards, which they have been doing, I think, during the year, they have been winning their own ball, to be fair to them. They need to keep doing that. But they're probably going to come up against the Waterford team who has perfected this sweeper system, I feel. Jamie Barron has gone really well. Kevin Moran is going really, really well midfield. That's the battleground for me on Sunday. If Galway can stifle their influence on the game and have a good game in that part of the field themselves, I think Galway have a great chance. But Waterford, Jamie Barron is a great engine. Kevin Moran, I think, is playing as good as he played, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. It's going really well. Brick Walsh will do his own bit. Morris Shanahan makes a difference when he comes on. Brian O'Halloran will come on. He's dangerous.
Yeah.
Waterford have a lot to offer, and they're not in the final for no reason. They're in the final because they deserve to be in the final.
A lot's been made about the amount of the Galway lads over 6 foot, and then over 6 foot two, and then over 6 foot four, and the monsters that they have. But you two weren't the biggest hurlers of all time, and yet no one ever actually...
I had monsters around me though, Ger.
But it matters to a certain degree.
It does, because if you have brilliant hurlers, right, and they're 6 foot, or if you have brilliant hurlers and they're 5 foot seven, who would you rather have? Like, everyone went on about our team, the Kilkenny team. Fierce physical team, unbelievable, intense. How do they stay motivated? But them hurlers were brilliant. I used to mark them in training. Like TJ Reid, Richie Hogan, Shefflin, Owen Larkin, Richie Power. Like, these are all Joe Hannings. That's how good they are. They're brilliant, brilliant players. And they just happen to be big. So, like, I'm not saying you have to be big. The first port of call has to be they have to be brilliant hurlers. And then you hope they're big then after that.
I got asked that question, Ger, as well. And this Galway team has kind of transformed. We were knowing that we would have a couple of very fast, nippy corner forwards, and Galway have produced them kind of players maybe going back to 10 or 15 years. And I got asked the question, was it a conscious decision that Galway managers started going for these bigger players? And I'd agree with Tommy fully. Unless you don't find it having a 6'4" guy if he can't control the ball and hit it over the bar. So Galway at this point in time, we just have physical players that are very, very skillful and they can win their own ball.
Yeah.
So sometimes these players just come together. But who knows what's going to happen Sunday. You ask me what I think Galway will win.
Everybody here on the stage thinks Galway are going to win, except for you, Ken, I think.
No, look, I honestly think it's 50-50. I'm surprised how what people are saying that Galway are such firm favourites. I think there's very little between the teams. I think with 3 or 4 minutes to go, it's going to be very tight. And whoever team pulls it out in the end, both semi-finals were won by probably your genius players, Joe Canning and Austin, you know. And that's in both teams. I reckon if Waffle need to get their match-ups right, need to match up with Connor, get Connor Whelan, and say Noel Connor's gone Connor Whelan. Connor Whelan or Connor Cooney has to be tight. You can't give Joe an inch. You have to sit someone tight on Joe, which Connor Gleeson is a fair loss for us. You probably would have sitting on him. I'd like to see Austin centre forward on Garrod McInerney and test him for legs and bring him on a tour of Croke Park and see how he gets on. But I think it's going to be a great game, and I hope it is. I said we'd have a lot of time for Galway, and I'd hope they have a lot of time for Waterford, but I honestly think it's going to be a look, it's a game every neutral wants to see, and I'm going for a Waterford victory.
Fair enough. Pete, last word to you on this. Earlier on, you were talking about how the age profile of this team, I think, suggests that there's a possibility for this team to kind of go on the way your team did once you finally made that breakthrough and be involved in these big games over a sustained period of time. And it does feel like these two, Waterford and Galway, are kind of ready to have a great rivalry over the next couple of years, that the age profile of both squads is such that this could be nearly as good as the Galway Tip rivalry that you guys had and the Tipperary rivalry that Tommy would have had.
Yeah, whichever team wins, okay, and I think Galway will win, they're going to change drastically. You hear the way Tommy talks about it, the people he played with, the lads he played against. Every one of them is a Joe Canning, you know. Your level of respect for the player that you win in All-Ireland with goes up. You become a better team, a better man, a better player, you know. So whoever does win this All-Ireland, they're going to take another step. Whoever loses is not going to go away. And they will be back. We've great respect. My dark horse this year was Waterford. That's what I thought would win the All-Ireland. So I've mighty respect for Derek. He's an incredible man. Give up his job to coach his county team. You know, they've some excellent players, and they've had success at minor and under 21 and colleges. You know, they've won 2 national leagues, and they have a system that is very difficult to play against. So we have a lot of respect for you, Ken, you know, in Galway, and we do respect that you can destroy us on Sunday too, as easily as we beat you. But to say will it be a trilogy between them down through the years? I hope it is, because if Galway weren't in it, everybody in this room would be shouting for Waterford.
We do have one final special treat for you as well, but before we get to that, we're going to have the West Awake song, and it put me in mind of Joe McDonagh, and I know his kids are in the room here tonight, Cyril. So, again, another great loss to Galway Hurling and GAA and the country generally.
Yeah, well, Joe McDonagh was a brilliant player, brilliant man, but a brilliant mind, a brilliant intellect. People might know that about him. Like, this guy was a genius. Like, went to college and brought us all through college and trained and played, and he didn't have to study like other, like he just was just different. And you could put him on, Pete was saying, and the boys in America, you could put him on any stage or any platform and he'd take over. Like he was able to speak, and he had Irish, fluent English, fluent Welsh. You know what I mean? He could. I'm just saying he could speak Welsh, which a lot of people like. If he had to, he was just kind of just a different kind of a person altogether. And like a terrible loss, you know. Like we knew that he was in bed with the cancer, that terrible thing that can hit anyone, you know. But like it's unreal to think that a wing back and centre back are going ahead of their time. But just when the boys there are talking about Potter Gall, we're going to do to counteract the sweeper system on Sunday, I have a sneaky feeling that Micheál Donohoe will do something on Sunday that, rather than us counteracting them, I have a feeling they'll be counteracting us. Knowing the way he thinks and maybe seeing the transition, I just have the feeling there could be a little bit different on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it, like, because finals, as Tommy says, finals are different. And remember the day Tommy was playing in the backs, and God, he was marked by, who was it, Larry Corb, but he followed you around all day. Like, and, you know. Yeah, so Tommy brought him into the toilet, and Larry with him, so he was quite happy. So it'll be interesting on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. Look, I'd love Galway to win. I think they will win. But, like, you'd have to be the first to congratulate Warf. There's players there that have played all, the likes would say, you know, like, Moore and Brick Welsh, these fellas, Nolly Connors have played all their lives. And, you know, like, they deserve to win in All-Ireland as well. If we weren't in it, as Pete says, we'd be all for it. We just hope it isn't at our expense. But I really think that the West will be ablaze Sunday evening.
Well, we'll get to the song in a minute. My favourite text of the night so far, Stevie Ford says, I nearly ruptured my kidneys by not stopping for the Jacks listening to you driving to Laois tonight. Brilliant show. Thanks for being with us, Stevie, and I hope your kidneys are all right. Before we get to Colin, who's going to sing us out, I just want to say thank you to our amazing special guests, to Tommy Walsh. Yeah. We've turned the boos to cheers. To Ollie Canning. To Pete Finnerty. To Cyril Farrell. To Anthony Cunningham. To Dahi Regan. And to Ken McGrath. To everybody here at the Radisson Blu Hotel in Galway, and to our sweet sponsors, the Bord Gáis Energy, and most importantly to you, give yourselves a huge cheer. If you couldn't make it tonight, don't worry, we're going to have loads of videos up. Check out facebook.com/offtheball. We've got some good backstage stuff going on as well. But now, he's the man behind a song for Galway, which has been racking up huge views online. Give it up for Colin Fahey.
Sing, oh, they died for their lives. all the time. The visual keep the west away. The west away. Lovely. Alas and well, may Aaron weep at Connacht's lies in slumber deep. I'm trying to home now. Good luck of all.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.